Hello, and welcome to the Thinking Catholic Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Basso, theology teacher at Cardinal Ritter High School. This week, we continue with part two of our discussion of Eucharistic adoration. We began last week talking about this particular type of prayer by examining what it was and why we should do it. We talked about how adoration is the highest form of prayer, loving God simply because He is God and all good and all deserving of our love, and how the Eucharist is Jesus Christ truly present under the appearance of bread and wine, and how for centuries the Church has afforded its members the opportunity to have this intimate moment of prayer with Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. We also talked about why one would want to engage in Eucharistic adoration. We talked about how it properly orients us before God, reminding us that He's God and we are not. We talked about how it allows us to give God the worship that He deserves, that we owe Him. We talked about how it unites us to the rest of the Church, to all other Christians, and how it satisfies the ultimate desire of our heart to be united with God in worship. This week, we'll talk about who Eucharistic adoration is for, when it can be done, where you can find a chance to do it, and lastly, and perhaps most importantly, how we would go about it. So, let's begin by talking about who. Who is Eucharistic adoration for? Well, first and foremost, adoration is for God. That's who we're directing our prayer to, especially in the person of Jesus Christ. Secondly, though, adoration is for us. By going to adoration, we experience further grace and benefit from the time that we spend in prayer. We open ourselves up, dispose ourselves to be better recipients of the Eucharist and of the other graces that God wishes to give us. Finally, Eucharistic adoration is for the world, for all of those that are lifted up in prayer during our time before the Lord. Now, if the question is, who can go to Eucharistic adoration, or who is it designed for participation? That's easy. Eucharistic adoration is for you and I, for every Christian person. People of every race, language, and way of life are called to adore the Lord. People of every age, too. I've been in adoration with mothers accompanied by very young children, with high school and college-aged young adults, with the elderly, with people of literally every age or stage of life. Young people especially are often amazed at the experience of sitting in silence. Some find it uncomfortable at first, and that's understandable, but many move past that initial awkwardness and come to really appreciate the rare opportunity to disconnect from all the noise in their busy lives and simply focus on the presence of the God who loves them. So, when can one participate in Eucharistic adoration? I'm going to talk briefly about two ways of answering that question. The first has to do with ways that we can adore Christ during the Mass. Whenever we come to church on Sunday, there are several opportunities for adoration. The first would be in the quiet moments before Mass begins, especially if you're blessed to be in a parish where the tabernacle is visible in the main part of the church. We should note it was in vogue a few decades ago for churches to build their separate chapels with the tabernacle off somewhere else. But the trend is waning, and many tabernacles are being moved back into the main altars of parishes. They're overcoming the architectural trends and restoring the tabernacle to its front and center location in the church. If you're blessed to be in one of these parishes, then you're able to adore Christ anytime you walk into the church, especially, again, in those moments right before Mass. Now, the temptation is strong during those first few minutes to get settled in, perhaps to look around and greet friends, to give final warnings to young children, for those of us who have them, or maybe just to thumb through the bulletin and read Father's reflection or look up what the first hymn is. And none of these is a bad thing to do in and of itself, but it is truly wonderful to develop a habit of greeting the Lord who we are about to receive sacramentally. The second opportunity that we have during the Mass is during the Eucharistic prayer. Whenever the priest elevates the bread and the chalice at the words of institution, He is offering the body and blood of Christ to God the Father on his own behalf and on ours. During that time, we are invited to adore Christ who has become present at that very moment. A time-honored tradition in the church was for the faithful to make their own silent prayer at the moment of elevation, crying out in their hearts the words of the Apostle Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Likewise, at the elevation of the chalice, one might pray in a similar way with the words of St. John the Baptist, "He must increase and I must decrease." Another opportunity during the Mass for adoration would be when we approach our Lord to receive him sacramentally. If we are in a state of grace and we intend to receive the Eucharist, then we come forward in line and are given the chance to make what the Church calls for as a profound bow. We should bow at the waist, honoring our Lord whom we are about to receive. We should behold the host who is shown to us with the words, "The body of Christ," and respond with a resounding Amen before we receive him, taking him into ourselves. A final opportunity during Mass that I'll mention would be the chance to adore him in those quiet moments after we have received the Eucharist. We return to our pew and we sit in silence, perhaps participating in a communion hymn, perhaps just simply giving thanks to God for the opportunity that he has provided us to enter into our lives. We pray that we can actually become what we eat, that we can be Christ to others. Now, the second set of circumstances for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament would be those opportunities that occur outside of the Mass. The first of these is what I call a pop-in, the second is a holy hour, and the third would be a prolonged period of adoration. A pop-in is exactly what it sounds like, though that's not the language the Church uses for it. It's just simply a brief time of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. I like to take advantage of this sort of visit on the rare occasions when I'm able to pick my daughter up from school. She gets out of school at 3, and my wife wisely advises me that I should be in the parking lot by 2:30. Otherwise, it's really tough to get in and out. So I arrive around 2:30, I park, and then I head over to the church, where Christ is waiting for me in the tabernacle. And for 5 or 10 minutes, I'm able to just relish the silence and that intimate moment of peace with Christ there before me. The second instance, a holy hour, is roughly that, an hour or so spent in adoration. And again, this can simply be before the tabernacle, or it can be during a period of adoration when the Eucharist is exposed on the altar. Many parishes will do this once a week or so, and usually it culminates with a blessing called benediction. The last scenario would be a prolonged period of adoration. In some cases, a parish might have what's called a 40 hours devotion. Maybe once a year they'll have 40 continual hours of adoration in which people are invited to come and go. There might be a guest homilist each evening and opportunities for confession. The other prolonged period would be what is called perpetual adoration. This occurs in a chapel that is dedicated and open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for Eucharistic adoration. The only time you would go to a perpetual adoration chapel and not be able to participate would be on Good Friday, when the Eucharist is taken away and is not available. There are 14 of these chapels throughout the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And in each one, there is always at least one person in prayer before the Lord every hour of every day and of every night. These are wonderful opportunities to avail yourself, knowing that the times when we most need prayer are not always the times that most neatly fit into other people's schedules. So now we come to the question of where. Where can I partake in Eucharistic adoration? And we've already kind of addressed that in talking about the when. You can adore Christ in the Eucharist in any church where the Blessed Sacrament is reserved. Whenever you enter a Catholic church, one of the distinct features is usually a prominent red lamp, a candle inside of a red glass case, and that indicates the presence of the Eucharist in the tabernacle. You can also go, as I said, to one of these perpetual adoration chapels. Here at Cardinal Ritter High School and St. Michael St. Gabriel School, we're blessed to have the Divine Mercy Chapel right here on our campus. It's in one of the two buildings between the two schools. So as you're proceeding north past St. Michael St. Gabriel, the first building you encounter is the St. Michael Parish Office and Rectory. The next building is the St. Francis Center. It houses administrative and financial offices, our daycare, and the Divine Mercy Perpetual Adoration Chapel. People are welcome to come anytime, day or night, for those moments of prayer before our Lord. So, lastly, we come to the how. How do you engage in adoration? What do you do once you get there? Well, perhaps the most notable thing about a perpetual adoration chapel is the profound silence. Our lives are often so full of noise of all sorts that it can take a while for us to get comfortable with that silence. Prayer, especially adoration, is one of those things that is simple, but not necessarily easy. Upon entering any church or chapel, it's customary to make a genuflection before the sacrament. This involves going down on one knee and signing oneself with the cross. Now, it's customary, when the Blessed Sacrament is exposed, to do what is called a double genuflection, which is essentially to briefly kneel down on both knees rather than on just one. Some folks will also bow at the waist while kneeling as a further sign of humility and reverence, and in some cases, a person might even touch his or her head to the ground. We are entering into the divine presence of the King of Kings, and it is fitting that, as St. Paul says, every knee should bend at the name of Jesus. Now, some of us might have a few more creaks and pops than we used to when we get down on our knees, and some of us might not be able to kneel with much ease at all. The idea here isn't that we would have to do a specific thing, but rather that we would show humility and reverence to the greatest degree that we can, whatever that is. Once you settle into a pew, you really can just begin by opening your heart to the Lord. Again, a simple thing, but not easy. Just as it might be difficult to come home from a day of work or maybe step into a counselor's office and immediately open up about what's on your mind, it can be a little difficult. The first few minutes might be uncomfortable. Perhaps when you're there, you can just glance around the chapel. Take everything in. Gaze at the Eucharist. Even say, "Okay, Lord, I'm here, now what?" Know too that the Church recommends a few things to help us enter more fruitfully into this period of adoration. It's always good to start with a prayer of adoration. These are relatively short prayers, relatively easy to memorize as well, and they focus our mind and our soul on what we're about to do. My favorite is a very short prayer written by St. Francis of Assisi. It says, "We adore you, Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you, here and in all of your churches throughout the whole world, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world." A prayer like that is an excellent greeting to our Lord and can begin that conversation that is prayer. We can pray in a variety of ways. The Church's Directory on Popular Piety mentions the singing of hymns or the chanting of canticles. Now, these are always done at the beginning and end of a period of adoration when the sacrament is exposed on the altar, but in theory, they're appropriate at any time during adoration. I must say, I've not seen people sort of spontaneously burst into song during adoration, but it would be entirely appropriate. The reading of sacred scriptures, especially the Gospels, which bring us face to face, not just with the words, but with the Word of God made flesh, is an endless well from which our soul can draw upon for prayer. The Rosary is another good prayer for adoration, since the meditation upon the mysteries of the Rosary directs our attention to the life and ministry of our Lord and His Paschal mystery. Other devotions, like the Stations of the Cross or the Divine Mercy Chaplet, when prayed silently and individually, could also help us direct our worship to Christ in the Eucharist. However, the directory I mentioned earlier cautions us against using other devotions during adoration. I suppose the idea is that we would want to give all of our attention to our Lord Jesus Christ, and some devotions might seem to direct our attention away from Christ to maybe a saint that we have a particular devotion to. It's also the idea that some devotions we might do out loud and publicly might keep other people from praying, and that's really what the church's primary concern is that nothing we do should get in the way of someone else's prayer, someone else's time with our Lord. I would also lastly recommend that at least part of our time in adoration is given over to silence. Silence so that we're not just speaking to our Lord, but allowing Him to speak to us. Adoration is truly a wonderful opportunity to get to know our Lord intimately. Again, it might seem awkward at first, but it's something that pays such great dividends when we make it a habit of entering into the presence of our Lord, acknowledging Him, being properly oriented to Him, giving Him the worship that He is due, lifting up to Him all of our needs, uniting ourselves to the rest of the church, and satisfying those great longings that are in our heart. There's really not a better way I can think of to spend some time in prayer, not an easier way to integrate into our lives than to spend a few moments or even an hour before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. As we look ahead to next week and the coming Lenten season, I would encourage you to make adoration one of the prayers that you embrace during that time. See if it doesn't help you in your relationship with our Lord. Well, that'll do it for this episode. I thank you for joining us. And if you have any questions or any comments, any feedback at all, I'm more than happy to field those questions or comments. You can email me at abasso@cardinalritter.org. Thanks again for joining us, and I look forward to talking with you next week when we enter into the season of Lent. Thanks, and God bless.